Where's my phone? If you get that working back there, let me know. Because I'll go off of this. Why is everybody so quiet? I know you're in church, you're supposed to not make noise, right? All right. Say what? No, I got it. Except it's crooked. But that could be interesting. Huh? I'm not sure what it is. And what the deal is it says it's streaming at 1960 by whatever, but it's only supposed to be streaming at 1280. Now, why it started doing that between Wednesday when everything was working. Was it Wednesday? Oh, Dan's not there. On Wednesday to not working well today is just demonic, excuse me. I'm just going to call it that. All right. We ready? Somebody can check and see if this is even doing anything. So, hopefully we're live. I'm alive. Is everybody else alive? Anyway, if you're wondering what happened to us, we were having camera problems, but we're back to the old-fashioned, let's do it with the iPhone bit. But hopefully we'll get this resolved soon and very soon. Still kind of setting it up here. Anyway, this the service on Good Friday, give you a little taste. We're going to have communion. We're going to have a little time of worship, and we have a little time around the cross, just reflecting on what happened that day, which basically made it us worth living, at least from my perspective. So anyway, so settle. Let's go. All right. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you win. And no matter what the enemy might try to throw at us, we win. And we're thankful for that. So, Lord, just go before us, encourage us, strengthen us, lead us and guide us in all your truth, and just be with us, we pray. And the church said, amen. So, worship. A couple weeks ago, started what at this point is going to be a four-part series. It'll be interrupted next weekend and the weekend after for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but then we'll get back to it the two Sundays after that. Worship is, I don't know how to describe it other than it is amazingly significant. It's healing, it's freeing, it brings joy to our hearts, just so much. And it's so part of who we are. I remember, and some of you know this story, but I remember in the early days, the first days of this place, when we'd start the service, it'd be me in the congregation, and the other four or five people would be up on the platform leading worship. And it was like that for a little while. But it was what it is. But it's been good ever since, and we just continue to grow in worship, and we want to continue to grow in worship, but not only here, but in our private worship. See, the truth of the matter is we really want to be a Christ-centered, can we Send her back over there. Sorry, Shannon, you're just too valuable. But we'll just go with this. If you can, we'll just have to contact the people and find out why all of a sudden it changed. But we want to be a Christ-centered church that really maintains a lifestyle of worship, of teaching, of reading His Word, of prayer, of relationships, there's that R word again, and service to God and to each other, while we carry out the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. 2 weeks ago when we talked about the results of worship, remember, God is a giving God. He's just a God that loves to bless His kids. That's who He is. That's just who He is. And we talked about how our primary importance, and you'll hear this again and again over the four sessions that we talked about worship, but the purpose of worship is because He's God. There's no other reason. It's not because we're saved. It's not because of the countless blessings. He is God. And because He is God, He is worthy of worship. End of subject. No further discussion needed. But because He's such a loving God and such a kind God and such a giving God, that He does things when we worship. You know, as we delight in Him, He delights in us. Think about God delighting in you for a few moments. Meditate upon that. Think about it. You know? But that's how He sees us. We draw nearer to God, and God draws nearer to us. And in the midst of it, God will minister to us through manifestation of the gifts or through healings or through different freeing of people or deliverance or just how He changes our lives. Our enemy and the Lord's enemy flees in the midst of worship. Unbelievers, those who are not following Jesus in the midst of a worship session, will know that they're in the presence of God. And I know people who came to church and in the presence of worship, they felt such a presence of God that they knelt and gave their life to the Lord. Nobody preached the gospel, though it was being preached. Nobody said, repent, turn or burn. Okay. Nobody said, you know, pulled out of four spiritual laws and walked over to them and led them through it. They just knew God was there and they wanted Him. And the value of worship is far beyond our life here. It is eternal. That's why we have to be a people that worship. See, the Hebrew word for worship means to bow down, to pay homage, to prostrate. The Greek word is similar to bow, to kneel, to pay homage. There was a thing put together in England called the Westminster Larger Catechism. And in that it says, the chief and highest end of man is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. That's our chief end. That's our highest end. That's what we're supposed to be about 24/7. It's glorifying God, but not just glorifying Him, enjoying Him forever. See, our body, our mind, our heart, and our voice are meant and have been given to us to honor God for who He is. You know, the big way you can worship God is to say to Him that you want and love the triune God more than anything He provides. So today, we're going to take a little trip down the 6W path. Everybody know what the 6Ws are? Who, what, where, when, how, why? First time I heard that, I raised my hand and says, how does how fit in there? And you know what the teacher said? Don't ask. He didn't have an explanation. Somebody later said, well, the W's just got lost. It's on the end of how. I don't buy that either. But anyway, the 6 W's. But we're going to start from the negative first. Who or what shouldn't we worship? I'm going to give you some thoughts that, no offense to anybody here, but we've all done. Ourselves. It's all about me. I'm first. Our spouses, our children, our family. Remember, Worship is God being first, okay? Our friends, our possessions. So here's a question. If God comes and tells you to sell your house and give it to the poor, you willing to do that? That was, can somebody answer that phone from God? No, I'm just kidding. How about money? You know, our wallets. What do we spend our money on? This is not condemnation. This is just heart examination. Do we have too many bills that we have to bow down to them? If you do, take a Dave Ramsey course. It's a great course. We need to have one here sometime, but there's churches around town that have them from time to time. Just go. But come back when you're done. Our jobs, are they more important to you than the Lord? If you had some jobs like me in the past, you were willing to give them away at any time. Especially when I worked as a welder at the St. Louis shipyard. When it was 90 degrees outside in July and August, and I was crawling through a space like this, welding the false bottom to the bottom in those big barges with all the heavy equipment on, I would lose up to 7 to 8 to 9 pounds a shift and go home and pour water. And that was while eating salt tablets like they were coming out of style, going out of style. Our status in life, wherever that is. Our positions, whether you're talking about positions in the church, or you're talking about positions at work, or positions just in life. The power we have in life, whether we're talking secular or spiritual. Look at me. I'm important. I'm laughing because I remember one time when I was in the director of the Superfund program, I had 33, 34 people working for me, and I was in charge of a national committee that represented all the states and everything, interacting with Congress and the EPA, and how that started going to my head. But God took care of it. That's all right. That's for a different day. And he just took care of it. Our beliefs, our theology, our doctrine, you know? I mean, God is all about relationships, but we can allow, that's why we got 450 denominations or 4,500, I don't know what we have, how many, but because of different theologies and doctrines, new churches have started. Okay? We're right. They're wrong. Our church, Christian Fellowship of Just Cities, is the best church around. Here's a newsflash. No, it's not. Hopefully, it's the church where God has put you. If it's not, we probably need to talk. And I'm dead serious when I say that. Because trying to reconnect, thank you. Because I just want people to be where God wants them to be. I'm not a very good market person. You know, a person comes in as a guest first time, and some people here can verify this, and I'll go, and I'll tell them that. I want them to be where God wants them to be. We have a church that God wants us to have, and he's building it into what he wants it to be. But prayerfully, he's doing that in not a lot of other places. House of Prayer is a great church. March 15th, we're going to have a joint service with them. So put that on your calendars. May 15th. Excuse me. It's a Sunday night.
It's the 16th.
Sunday. It's sometime in May on a Sunday night. More information will be coming forth. Correctly, we hope. I do have my phone, but it's right there. Hey, hi guys who are joining us. Thanks for being patient. It's easy for us to say that we don't worship any of these. But the truth is, we all have. We all have. But fortunately, we serve a God of grace, a God of mercy. So ask yourself from time to time. You know how, as you go through the Christian life, God puts little road signs in front of you from time to time? Well, this is a road sign. Ask yourself, how do you spend your time? What do you spend your money on? I'm not talking about stop working. I'm not talking about don't feed your kids. Okay. I'm not talking about food, clothing, shelter, whatever, etc. But God has to be first in our life. I mean, look at Israel. How many times did she play the harlot? And unfortunately, all too often the church, people who are followers of Jesus, can put people and things above God. Unfortunately, there's God's conviction. And another reason why we need relationships. So who and what should we worship? I think it's obvious, isn't it? The triune God. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, reading from the New Living Translation, says this: since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, isn't that exciting? I love that. Let us be thankful. So when you're going to a valley, understand the kingdom you're part of is unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Fear and awe. It's redundant. For our God is a devouring fire. See, God, we should always be a Jesus follower, following his life above everyone and everything. See, God, the triune God, should never be just part of our lives. That's not what he's called us to be. And here's the ultimate proof. You're not going to like this question, but I seriously ask myself this question from time to time. Am I willing to die for him? That's the ultimate proof. Are we willing to die for the Lord? If somebody walked up to you in the AR-15, mine's locked up so it can't be there, mine, and put it to their head, your head, and said, I pull the trigger or you renounce Jesus. What are you willing to do? I love that story that we heard of when ISIS was beheading some people on the thing, that there's one person there that really wasn't a believer, but they kept asking him to deny Jesus. And they wouldn't, so they'd lose their head. And he got to this person, and they said, are you willing to? And he goes, I serve the God that they serve. It's a question we need to ask ourselves. It's a hard question. Sometimes I just think about the place martyrs have in heaven. So when should we worship? We'll get out of that stream, but it's something to think about. When should we worship? It's like prayer, always, without ceasing. Morning, noon, and light, night. See, the same principle applies here as in prayer. We need to live a lifestyle that centers upon the triune God, where he is second to none. Now, I understand we have jobs. I understand that we have yards to take up. Everybody, you know, I'm glad it's getting warmer. But guess what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm cutting my grass. It's March 22nd. I'm going to cut my grass. That's sin. It shouldn't grow that fast. It shouldn't be ready. But I'm going to. Terry and Sarah cut the front yard of this on Wednesday or Thursday, sometime or another. But the same principles apply that apply in prayer. It's a lifestyle. So, since we've got work, we've got raising families, we've got all these tasks that we have to be responsible for. But the key is, we can do those unto the Lord too. I used to do my job unto the Lord. And it was funny. I knew I was doing it unto the Lord at least a 70%, a passing grade, because my staff wouldn't invite me to the parties. But when they had an issue, they'd knock on my door. And they'd ask me questions. So I knew. So we can do our job. We can raise our families. If you're centered upon God, you're going to be the best father you can be. If you're centered on God, you're going to be the best wife you can be. If you're centered on God, you're going to be the best friend you can be. And it's all unto the Lord, which I take as worship. And just finishing up when we can worship alone, we can worship with a few others, or we can worship congregationally, like we just did. The bottom line, worship is a lifestyle. Having God out in front of you and honoring Him at all times is a lifestyle. So where should we worship? First place is in your secret place. I know this is about prayer, but it's one and the same in a lot of ways. Matthew 6:6, ESV. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. It's hard to pray without start singing. From a song like Jesus Loves Me to whatever. To humming. It applies to worship. Another place is in his dwelling place, the sanctuary where we're gathered together. Psalm 132:7. And reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Let's go to his dwelling place. Let's worship at his footstool. That speaks to intimacy in his very presence. Flowing together corporately is one. But for either of those, we should always worship, as it says in Psalm 99:5 in the New Living Translation, exalt the Lord our God, bow low before his feet, for he is holy, which is the same as the footstool, before him in the Holy of Holies at his feet. And we have the distinct advantage being a New Testament church, okay? I'm not saying we don't read the Bible, okay, in the Old Testament. I'm not saying that at all. But the curtain has been rent. We don't have to cast lots once a year to see who's going to go into the Holy of Holies. We all can go into the Holy of Holies at any given moment. Whether corporately or privately, we can be in his presence in the Holy of Holies. I have taken a number of trips in the past, Colorado, either down to the lake to spend a couple of nights in a motel, long walks, just going out in the woods, whatever, doing what I call holy retreats. And I encourage all of us to do that. Whether it's at home or in your prayer closet or a walk, a long walk on the beach, or just go away and camp out in the woods for a night or whatever. But just to be alone with God. The place is really not important because the purpose of it is just to get alone with God. You and him, him and you. To focus on him through prayer, through worship, through praise, to upload whatever it is you need to upload and to download whatever it is he has for you. And always take a journal so you write stuff down, because if you're like me, you'll forget a lot of it. So how can we worship? Simply put, by God's grace and the ability that he has given us. John Piper says this in his book, Future Grace, which is a great book. He says, we cannot do anything but by the grace of God, and God has enough grace for the future that we will never run out. Don't you love that? If you're 30 years old, and you live to be 95, God will never run out of enough grace for you. Let's be a church that worships, that taps into that grace, that makes sure that the triune God is a priority. Yeah, physical and mental activities are important. I work out. Heart attack back in June got my attention. I eat better. Lost 17, 18 pounds. I feel better. So it's important to work out. But it's also important to have spiritual activities. You know, mental activities are good too, but it's also important to have spiritual activities like worship, like praise, like worship, like prayer. And the Holy Spirit is always there to help us. Always there. See, our goal as we walk through life, it's all part of being a Christian and following after Jesus. One of our goals must be to grow in worship. To grow in worship not only in spirit, but in truth. John 4:23-24, you know, but the hour is coming when Jesus is talking to some people, but the hour is coming, the Samaritan woman, and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And I'm going to get into that, dive into those two verses after Easter. We have to worship using our spirits, but not only just our spirits, our whole body, our giftings, our talents, our whole being, always in the truth. See, the Holy Spirit draws us in, and he's given us gifts. And in the midst of those gifts, he woos us. And then our response is to respond and enter God's presence, to begin to worship him freely and totally. That's what worship is. It's a response. It's a response to who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. Rainer Bantow says this in his blog. Worship is our response to God's revelation of himself through creation, through his word and the Holy Spirit. True words. True words. See, the greater our revelation is of God and who he is, the more we will worship him, the greater our worship will be. With the whole purpose, all the while honoring God, while worshiping him. That's what Psalm 29:2 says in New Living Translation. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So how do we honor God? How do we worship him in his holiness? See, God is so good, he never leaves us without the details that are needed. The Bible actually tells us many ways. God has given us, in fact, commanded us, so that we can worship him, thus allowing us to fulfill the command to worship. Can you hand me my water thing there, sweetie? It's my wife. I said sweetie too, so it's okay. Oh, somebody's been drinking my water.
That's my water.
Oh, what did I do with mine? Okay, this is fine. We kiss so we can drink water. First one, by singing. Psalm 100. By bowing down. 1 Samuel 15. By kneeling. Psalm 95:6. By prostrating yourself and falling on your face. 1 Corinthians 14:25. By trembling before him. Wait, what? That's weird. I didn't write the Bible. Psalm 96. By lifting holy hands, 1 Timothy. By dancing before the Lord, Psalm 30. Remember, Miriam danced with the women for the Lord when God delivered Israel from Egypt. By clapping, Psalm 47. By playing instruments, Psalm 150, my favorite. By making a joyful noise. Psalm 100. That's what the seraphim in Isaiah 6:3 and the living creatures in Revelation 4:8 did, as they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, Lord of hosts." And in some, in a note in one of my Bibles, it said, it actually said, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." But the bottom line is by using our whole being. Psalm 16:9. See, what that does is it shows the Lord that we are surrendering everything to him. Yes, we can also worship him in the quiet of our spirit. But there's all those others too, with understanding, by praying. See, we can worship all these ways, because we recognize his holiness. We recognize who he is with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, just like the great commandment says for love. Because worship is an expression of our love. It's a way of loving our God. It's a way of expressing our love to him with our whole body, with gusto, just doing it. So moving on to why do we worship? We already said that, right? Because he's God. And what do we mean when we say he's God? He's a God who forgives. He's a God who has unlimited power. He's omnipotent. He's a God who knows everything. He's omniscient. He's a God who is everywhere, omnipresent. He's a God that is absolutely amazing, a God who loves, a God who delivers us from sin, who broke the power so that in Romans, like it says in Romans 6, we are free from the power of sin. A God who's our Lord, a God who is long-suffering, a God who is the definition of mercy and grace, a God who absolutely delights in you and me and us, a God who calls us friends, and much, 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 much more. So the question is, knowing these things, why wouldn't we worship him if we really are born again? And besides worship, we also have the ability and are called to praise God because of his infinite number of blessings. And yes, I do say infinite. See, you can go through your house and everything you have, and we're finding out how much stuff we got in our kitchen because we're about to have our kitchen gutted and redo it. And we're moving everything out. And each one of them go, thank you, Lord, for this glass. Thank you, Lord, for this glass. Thank you, Lord, for this glass. Thank you, Father, for this. And if you have as many Shakespeare cups as I do, who I am resisting my wife from getting rid of, then you're going to say thank you for this cup many times. Shakespeare's is a pizza place up in Columbia. It's a great pizza place. Absolutely fantastic pizza place. Huh? No, I'm not going to throw them in the trash. I had to pay $2.50 for each one of those suckers. I did come up with a good argument, because when we have getting warmer, we're going to have some parties on the back. We can use the Shakespeare cups. So what do we praise? Because of our salvation. Because of food. Because of shelter. Because of clothing. Because of all those stupid Shakespeare cups. Because of healings. Because of our families, both spiritual and natural. Because of our friends. Because of the skills that he has given us. Because he's with us in trials and tribulations. He's the vineyard in the valley. Because he never leaves us. Because of our many possessions. Because he's worthy. Because he gave us another day to serve him on earth. The worship team wants to come back up, please. So the bigger question is, why doesn't everyone worship and praise Jesus? Just a question. Why do Jesus followers struggle with living a lifestyle of worshiping and praising the living God? I suppose we could say we worship because we're commanded to. And it would be true, because if you look at all those things I went through, singing this, that, the other thing, it doesn't say if you feel like it. It says do it. But the truth of the matter is there's a better reason. Because he's God. And he's blessed us. Something that I think Christians can struggle with from time to time. And I've heard people say, well, that was Adam and Eve's fault, not mine. But the truth of the matter is we deserve nothing short of eternal damnation. And yet Jesus went to the cross and gave us his path unto eternal salvation, which we're going to be looking at closely over the next couple of weeks. We were totally and completely lost. And God, through Jesus, redeemed us. And that's why we worship. Because we have a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, I believe. 36:26. We've received new hearts with salvation. Getting rid of the heart of stone and picking up a heart of flesh. See, I believe we want to worship and praise him who is God and who saved us. I just believe that we can allow things to get in our ways. But remember, it's a process. Sanctification, we're growing, we're becoming better and better. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed that our worship is becoming sweeter and sweeter. It's becoming more and more directed to God. It's becoming more and more powerful. And I know God loves it. I've had pictures of him just smiling. He's God. And he has blessed us exceedingly and above everything that we can think of or maybe even deserve. So here's a suggestion, borrowing from a commercial when encouraging you on worship. Just do it. Just do it. With your whole body. With everything that is within you. And I guarantee that as you do that, that your relationship with the triune God will grow. That you'll have more joy in your heart. More peace. You'll change. Because God wants you to be close to him. Because he wants to bless you. And he wants to bless me. He wants to bless us. We're blessed that praise and worship has always been a center part of our church. But I really believe, and it was confirmed when I was talking to the worship team earlier, that we haven't seen anything yet. That we're going to grow in it. And it's become more and more powerful as we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It's going to be interesting to see what God does in the days, weeks, months, years ahead as we become more and more a worshiping church. To see what happens in the midst of that. I've seen people healed in the midst of worship. Nobody laid hands on them. Nobody prayed for them. Nobody did anything. God did, though. I've seen people saved, like I said earlier, in the midst of worship. I've seen people who were bound up for long periods of time set free. Hallelujah. From burdens, from things that were just holding them down. In the midst of worship. Hallelujah. We're going to see more and more of that.
Yes.
I promise you. I'll write it down. I'll put it on paper. I'm that confident of it. Mm. Our job? Just use that whole body that you were born with to worship him. I'm not saying you have to act like a foolish person. But I am saying respond. Lift up holy hands. It could be a problem. If all of us decided to start dancing before the Lord in this building, since we're on top of the basement, if the building starts shaking, we might want to stop that. Or see how much we trust the Lord, I guess. I don't know. But I encourage us to enter in more and more to go after it and watch what he does. Because he loves to bless. But our goal, as always, to worship him because he is God. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we'll finish with this. Anybody need any prayer for anything? Front's always open. Don't let any thoughts of, well, God won't heal me.